Down to Dunk Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Down to Dunk Podcast. We appreciate you listening to us today. This is Jay Smith, and with me today is a Oklahoma City Thunder legend, Darnell Mayberry from the Oklahoman, newsok.com. He's been covering the NBA for the Oklahoman since 2005. His nuggets are like the addiction of all Thunder fans. I will stay up late into the evening or early morning to wait for him. Darnell, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me. I don't know about that legend. I don't know about that title.
Hey, there's two legends in Oklahoma City Thunder talking people and writing people, and I think it's you and Royce Young. They're the staples of Thunder conversation, in my opinion. So,
well, I know Royce does a great job, and you know I really hope people appreciate you know sort of what they get in Oklahoma City, because there's not a lot of markets that have such dedicated writers, and you know it takes a lot of work to do those nuggets, and you know I know it takes a ton of work for Royce to do what he does, and you know I throw Anthony Slater in there. It's his first year on the beat, but with me, but he does a great job too. I just hope people in Oklahoma and Thunder fans specifically really enjoy everything that they're getting from the coverage of the Thunder.
I think they absolutely do. And Anthony's doing a great job this year. You know, he just doesn't have – he's just not – you know, he needs a little more longevity before we throw him into the Mount Rushmore of Thunder.
So we got two. We got two up we there. Got we two. Just need two more, huh?
We're developing the other one. So you're in New Orleans right now following up the All-Star weekend. So I just want to ask you just a few questions about the All-Star weekend for you. And kind of give me a general overall – what do you think about the weekend experience – some highlights, some lowlights, what you thought of the dunk contest, and just kind of a general thing for you.
Well, you know, coming down here, I was a little, I don't know if nervous or scared or those aren't the right words. I was a little put off, I think, by the idea of having it in New Orleans. It's just such a small city, I mean, in terms of the downtown French Quarter area, where everything is going to be, the convention center, the arena. And there are a lot of places that you have to go where it's almost literally one way there, one way out. And I was kind of fearful of the traffic, and I guess intimidated would be maybe the right word. I was intimidated by the possibility of it being the madhouse. But it was a phenomenal weekend, and I think this was my sixth All-Star weekend. This was the best one yet. I really liked 2010 in Jerry's World down in Dallas, Arlington, whatever you want to call it. I mean, that was just cool being in that huge stadium watching a basketball game. But that was cool just from that standpoint. But in terms of the overall weekend, this was a great weekend. I think New Orleans put on a really, really great show. The game was entertaining, and the people of New Orleans, I mean, they're just great, great people. They know how to host, and they know how to have a good time.
Absolutely. And I know I was following you during the dunk contest, and you were kind of critical of people who are being critical, which I completely understand. So what kind of were your thoughts about the dunk contest? I mean, obviously John Wall, I think, had the dunk of the night. But what did you think of the new format and maybe some changes you think they should look at for next year's?
You know, the reason I was really kind of caught off guard was because nobody even really hardly gave the team format a chance before they started just ripping it. And maybe that's what Twitter is for these days. but it's like, you know, the guys were out there, I think it was the East team was out there, and they were probably halfway through, and people were just killing it. And I actually enjoyed it. I mean, to see three really good dunkers take turns freestyling and doing whatever came to mind on the fly. I mean, they practiced a little, you know, once, I think they said, but I thought that was entertaining. We've never seen it before. And the people who were killing it are the same people who, right when it went back to the old format where it was one guy, They really got bored at that point. And I'm like, well, you were just killing the nude format, and now you're yawning at sort of them going back to the old one in the second round. So I don't know. I just think people complain too much, and it wasn't a great dunk contest. Don't get me wrong. By any stretch of the imagination, it was not great. And the new format was confusing. I don't think people understood the format, the rules enough to really get what was going on. And there was a sense in the arena right after John Wall's dunk. Nobody knew that the competition was over, and everybody kind of just stood around like, what do we do now? So, I just think that the complaining really is something that prevents guys from wanting to get in it. Although I got to say, Reggie Jackson did say that he wants to get in it. So that should be fun if he gets in it next year or in the coming years.
As long as he doesn't loaf it like he did in the little skills challenge thing, he looked like he was just taking half speed.
Yeah.
But you can't blame anybody for the things they do on All-Star Weekend. It's kind of a little bit of a rest for them too, I feel like, and they need to kind of regain some energy and enjoy some time there. And I don't put too much stock in anything that happens over that weekend. So here was my thought about it. I just felt like 90 seconds was not enough time for those where they got their, like, give me 3 or 4 minutes of them trying to figure out things, because then they can maybe plan a little bit more. And I don't know. I thought it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. I kind of just – and last year's was equally as kind of let down, you know. So you are – kind of grew up in Oklahoma City, and then you moved to Virginia, finished high school there, went to college at Norfolk State. And so who were your kind of influences as far as your NBA fan? Who were you a fan of? What teams were you a fan of? What players were you a fan of growing up? How did you kind of get – into the NBA world?
My first NBA game was a Washington Bullets game, back when they were in Landover, Maryland. And I think I was probably in middle school. I was in Virginia at the time. And I've been a fan of the Wizards, Bullets Wizards, ever since. So it's kind of like people growing up in Oklahoma now, like, this is the team that they're going to grow up and be a lifelong fan of, for better or worse. It's just, unfortunately for me, it's been more worse than that.
So here's the question. I was trying to look at some, can you give me a couple players maybe from the Bullets or the early Wizards that you really followed or liked, or you thought kind of had a, I don't know, in impact on you, or somebody you like? For us, it'll be Durant and Russ and tons of other guys. But what was it for you? Because I can't remember many Washington players.
It's funny, the thing. I mean, I'm young. I'm in middle school at the time. Like, I didn't know any better. I'd never been to an NBA game before. The whole game presentation thing was new to me, and I just never experienced it before. So every time Tom Gugliotta scored, the PA announcer would go, "Tom Gugliotta." And so that kind of hooked me to being a Wizards fan. I mean, along with everything else, you know, just being able to roam around in the concourse and buy basketball cards and that sort of thing. Like, that PA announcer announcing Tom Gugliotta's last name whenever he scored a bucket, like, that kind of is my fondest memory of those games, and it's kind of what got me hooked.
Well, and I maybe should have asked this part of the All-Star, and looking at the Wizards today, I think they maybe are in the best shape they've been in as long as I can remember the Wizards. So give me kind of just a couple thoughts, and what I was going to say about the All-Star. I thought Brad Beal and John Wall had a couple of the best performances of the All-Star weekend. So give me your thoughts on how they kind of are forming and looking at for the future of the Wizards.
You know, I mean, they obviously two of the best young players at their position in the league. So I think if they can just continue to stay healthy, which both of them have struggled with injuries so far earlier in their careers, and just continue to play for each other and play the right way, they're going to be able to do some great things in this league. I think they still might need another coach, and I think they might need some more help. Especially on the wing. But if they can get the right pieces around them and really just commit themselves to winning, you know, playing for the right reasons, They could restore order to that franchise and really take that franchise to places it hadn't been in a long time. So I think there's a lot of excitement because of those two guys. And they're young, and they're so they got such great personalities that you really just enjoy watching them play because of the type of people they are, the type of competitors that they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll move on to our Twitter questions. We had some of our Twitter followers that send us some questions that they wanted to ask you, and some of them are legit questions, some of them are funny, and then we kind of threw in a couple of our own. So the first question I have is, this is from at Dustin Douglas, is who is your favorite Kendrick? Kendrick Lamar, Kendrick Perkins, or Anna Kendrick? And if you
Who's
don't know
Anna one?
Kendrick, Anna Kendrick. I didn't know if you know her. She's an actress, and she's in like Pitch Perfect, and we'll just skip that. What about Kendrick Lamar, Kendrick Perkins?
Wait a second. How does Anna look?
I don't want to get, and my wife won't ever listen to this. She's a good looking woman. She's 5'3" though, so she's kind of short for me, but she is pretty.
I'm only 5'8", so.
There we go.
But I'm married too, so
you're married too.
Stop there. Let me shut up. I enjoy Kendrick Perkins. I think he would be my favorite. I don't know Kendrick Lamar. He might be 5'3" too. By the way, I walked out of Staples Center with him, not with him, but right next to him, and I couldn't believe how short he was. But one thing I did like about Kendrick Lamar was that as we were walking out of the arena. He was just the most gracious, I don't know, rapper or whatever I've ever seen. And he's just kind of saying hello to everyone, smiling, taking pictures, just taking time for fans. And that's kind of what you want celebrities to do. Kevin Durant does it a ton. And, I didn't know much about Kendrick Lamar before I saw that earlier this year. And he was, it just really left an impression on me about the type of dude he is. And, So I did gain a lot of respect for him, for seeing him take time for his fans like that. But I don't know him. I would say Kendrick Perkins.
All right. That's Kendrick Lamar. I thought he did great this weekend on the All-Star. I don't know which one. I guess it was maybe during the dunk contest or something. He had a performance. I thought that was pretty good. So next question is from at OG, just OG Jamie Don Wheat. And he is asking a question about LeBron and KD, and just wondering what's going on. LeBron is talking a lot, and Kevin is not talking at all. And so is there some sort of maybe jealousy going on, or is there – not jealousy, but what's going on between those two?
You know, I asked LeBron that question, just why he's talking about Durant so much. If he's I asked him specifically, are you just answering media's questions? Or is there some sort of hidden agenda or rhyme or reason to why you're mentioning him so much in interviews? And he just said he's just answering the question, and that's kind of what we want. He said, that's what y'all want, ain't it? I mean, I'm trying to make y'all happy. So I don't know whether to believe him or not. LeBron James is a corporation, and anything he says or does is going to be beneficial for his corporation. And so who knows whether he's telling the truth. Now, I asked Dwayne Wade the same thing, and he gave me some great stuff about how I'm actually writing about this on Thursday. So whoever cares, look for that on Thursday. So Dwayne Wade said that, LeBron James sees Kevin Durant coming, and, he's been coming for a couple years now. So he's motivated by him, and he's going out there, and he's trying to really maintain his spot as the league's best player, as the league MVP, as the two-time NBA champion. So all of this is not without it's not without a reason, because LeBron James sees what Kevin Durant is doing. He's paying attention.
It's just and it's good for the NBA too. Like I understand.
Oh, it's great for the NBA.
LeBron. And you've been following NBA for a while, so maybe as a follow-up, in my opinion, this is one of the better eras of NBA basketball that I can remember. What do you kind of think about that? Do you feel like NBA is in a good place right now?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You look at, how many countries broadcast the All-Star game, and how many international media members come over for the NBA finals, and just the television deals and ticket sales, revenue, the lockout. It seems like a long time ago. It wasn't that long ago. It was 2 years ago, but it feels like a long time ago just because the level of play that we're seeing out of some of these young guys, and because the game is such a strong, the league is such a strong business that I think it's in a great place.
Absolutely. So the next question is from at Cody Kaiser, and he kind of following up on, I think it was Adrian Wojnarowski, said that the Thunder are looking at possibly Rudy Fernandez. They're looking at some sort of defender and law. I don't even know what really they're supposedly looking at, but who do you think the Thunder may be pursuing? And then the follow-up question of that is, whose minutes would they end up taking if they were to acquire somebody like Rudy Fernandez?
I don't think many people out there are going to come in and crack the rotation. And that's the thing that I've kind of said in the past, that whoever's on this team or whoever they go get, they don't need to be in the rotation. They just need to be on the roster. We're always talking about getting another shooter, which, before Derek Fisher started playing out of his mind in the new year, this team desperately needed another shooter. Tybo is still inconsistent and streaky shooting the ball this season for whatever reason. But Derek Fisher has single-handedly made this team's three-point shooting look a ton, but I still say that they do need another shooter, and I don't see the shooter having to be in the rotation. Like I said, as long as he's on the roster and you just can go to him whenever you need, that's the most important thing to me. So I don't see him necessarily taking anyone's minutes, and we know Fish is going to play. He might not play as much, but we know he's going to play. Jeremy Lamb is the guy that I fear Scott Brooks will squeeze out of the rotation a little bit, or not out of the rotation, but just reduce his minutes. And I think that would be a mistake, because that young guy, man, I said it since the night of the trade. I'm really high on Jeremy Lamb. I think he got star potential, and I think he needs more minutes this year. And I think he needs as many minutes as possible. And if someone comes in and takes his minutes, I think that'll be unfortunate.
Yeah, I think a lot of just speaking as a a Thunder fan, I think that for me, I kind of am okay with them standing pat where they are, because I think Lamb is fine when he's out there. I think Brooks is hard on him and gets really frustrated when he misses defensive assignments or where he's supposed to be. I think that's the biggest frustration Brooks has with him, but he brings energy in that Portland game. He hit that big corner three, and then even in the Lakers game where they're falling apart, he hit some shots that were important and didn't get to play a whole lot late. But I like Lamb, and I don't want to see his minutes get squeezed. Even Fisher right now, which I am the biggest Fisher hater for the last year and a half, I don't mind him playing what he's doing. That's going to change when Russ comes back as well, and so I don't know where somebody would fit in that either. And so the question I do have is we talked about Russ a little bit. What is your assumption on when he comes back? Do you think that Kevin maybe spoke out of turn? We talked about the Bill Simmons interview. He said that he's coming back on Thursday. You think that's a reality?
I do, just from the simple fact that, the dude has missed 30 games because of swelling. He had the surgery to alleviate the swelling, and I think they've only kept him out this long for precautionary reasons. I don't think that he needed to be out this long. And with a week off between last Thursday's game at the Lakers and this coming Thursday's game against the Heat, I think they're going to use this week to evaluate him, to let him get a couple practices under his belt, and I think he's going to be back, man. I just don't see him sitting out much longer. I've been wrong before. I thought he was going to come back earlier. But I just see, with this week off, I think that's a lot of time to kind of get some good work in and bring him back.
Now, do you think he may have come back earlier had they been struggling a little bit more? That was kind of my opinion on it, because they were playing fine, and then they had that six-game little run where at the end of the season where I looked at it, and they had the only loss they had was Orlando, and that run, and it would have made no sense for him to come back to play the Lakers or to play, you know, that Orlando team or any of those games. You think he could have come back earlier?
I think he could have. Would they have brought him back had they continued to struggle? We remember, I mean, they weren't always as hot. You know, they were 5-5 in mm-hmm. a stretch there. So I don't think the Thunder is short-sighted. And yeah. I think that would have been a short-sighted move to bring him back just because you're losing a couple games. So, I know the long-term health of their star point guard is the utmost important thing for them with this situation. So I don't think, losing ground in the standings would have mattered to them all that much.
Yeah, thank God they don't make decisions like us fans. It would be a way short-sighted team if they made decisions off of our opinions.
They know what they're doing. You got to give them that.
Absolutely. Well, I got one final question for you. It's kind of maybe a lengthy question. And I know that earlier this season there were some comments said between Perkins about, you know, Darnell being a Thunder hater and all those things. And I don't want to get too much into that, but it's very intriguing to me the difference in media today, even versus 2005 when you started. You have such connectivity because of social media, because of proximity. Like, it's hard. How hard is it for a media member to be critical when you're in such close connection to these players? Does that change any of what your job is, or how has that impacted you?
It's real simple. You're not gonna write or say something, for the most part. I mean, unless you just don't care. I mean, you're not gonna write or say something about people that you have to work with. You know, I mean, just imagine on your job. You're not going to go and blast a coworker to the rest of, you know, your job or wherever you work. So and knowing that you have to see that coworker all the time. Now, you know, these players aren't my coworkers in a traditional sense, but I work next to them. I work with them for 6-7 months out of the year. And it's a tough job. It's challenging because, you know, you do have to be critical at times. And I don't even really look at it as critical. I mean, I kind of look at it as just analyzing what's going on. You know, if I say Reggie Jackson has been inconsistent on defense, you know, that's analyzing the game. And as long as you're not disrespectful, as long as you're not being rude or just, you know, taking pot shots at people, I think you have to respect someone just doing their job and analyzing the game. Now, there's a couple of different ways of doing it. You can say Reggie Jackson sucks, he's awful,
sure.
Or, you know what I mean? You could use words like that and kind of cross the line, or you could just say, hey, Reggie Jackson's defense hasn't been at the level that the team would like for it to be, you know, and that's kind of what I try to do and just try to show some respect for these guys. And the other thing is you do get to know them personally a little bit. I'm not going to say I know all of these guys, or I don't even know many of them personally. I mean, they're only going to let you know what you want to know, what they want you to know about them, I should say. And a lot of times that's not going to be a lot. So, but you do develop a rapport with some of these guys, and the more you develop that, you know, in all honesty, the easier you're going to be on them. You're not just going to kill a guy who's going out of his way to give you an interview or ask you how your day's doing, how your day is, how your family's doing. I think that's human nature. But the other thing I'd say about it, and I think it's important for people to know, because, you know, I've gotten the question about, you know, am I a Thunder fan? You know, Perk started that whole thing, and now people hit me on Twitter like, you're a Thunder hater, whatever. But I think the thing that's important for people to realize is that, like, I'm the only guy who's around this team, like, almost all the time. And we're the only news organization that's around this team on the road and at home. So it's easy for And I've been doing it. I mean, I've been doing it since they got here. So it's easy for those guys to look at me and get upset with me because, like, I'm the main guy that they
sure.
see all
yeah.
the time. And I think that's important for people to realize. It's like, when you have someone that you're around all the time, it's almost like a family, right? You're going to fight. You're going to be mad at each other. But I think there's always been a move for everyone and or from everyone. So that's the thing. I mean, that Kendrick Perkins thing kind of blew up. And I've never really addressed it just because there's no reason to.
Sure.
And I just think that if people realize, hey, look, this guy has been doing it for as long as they've been in town, and he's like the main guy that they see every day, I think that would help people realize just kind of that whole dynamic.
Absolutely. Well, I have one more question that just came out, and I'll hit it real quick. So Rob Mahoney, who writes for, I think, CNNSI, just put out a fake trade. It's a fake blockbuster trade that could impact the season. And his trade for the Thunder was Greg Monroe, Rodney Stuckey, and Kyle Singler for Jeremy Lamb, Steven Adams, Perry Jones, Kendrick Perkins, and an unprotected first-round pick in 2015. Please tell me I'm not crazy for thinking that's the worst possible trade ever.
Jeremy Lamb, Steven Adams, Perry Jones, Kendrick Perkins, and an unprotected in 2015?
Yeah, for Greg Monroe, Rodney Stuckey, and Kyle Singler.
It's not great. I prefer, basically what you're doing is shipping out two potential starters and Jeremy Lamb and Steven Adams for one starter in Greg Monroe. And you're losing defense and Kendrick Perkins, low post defense, and losing a pick. So I think that's kind of a bad trade-off. But, I'm not surprised that, and this is no disrespect to Rob, he does a great job, but I'm not surprised that, a guy nationally or whatever you want to call him would say that, because I don't think that people really realize, again, how good Jeremy Lamb is. And I think Steven Adams, even though he kind of got in this rookie game, this Rising Stars Challenge, I should say, over the weekend over Jeremy Lamb, which was bogus, I don't think people realize what the Thunder got back in him, although some people do. I think he was rated by, it was either David Thorpe or someone as the second best rookie or second for rookie of the year. But I don't think people realize how good these young assets, these young guys are on the Thunder. And then the other thing is people love to hate Kendrick Perkins. You don't know how many times this weekend people were talking about Kendrick Perkins and the whole Scott Brooks thing. And there was a funny tweet about Scott Brooks starting Kendrick Perkins for the All-Star game. And, people just want to see Kendrick Perkins traded because they feel like if this team had a dominant center that, there'd be no stopping them. But, we heard that when James Harden was traded, right? Like, if they had James Harden, they'd be a dynasty. They'd be, they'd be unstoppable. They just cruise to the finals every year, but that's kind of what they're doing now. They're dominant without him. And if Russell Westbrook didn't get hurt last year, a lot of people feel like they would have gone to the finals last year. So, we'll see what happens. I don't like that trade. I'm with you. I think that's giving up way too much for Greg Monroe.
And that's really the only thing you're going to get back on it. And it just doesn't – I don't think people on the national level probably pay enough attention to see how important – even Perry Jones has been to this team this year and how – because I thought at the beginning of the season he wouldn't even have a roster spot. And he's been great when he gets the opportunity to play. So I just don't think people really see the impact of those young guys.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, Darnell, we appreciate you being a part of the podcast today. And just keep up the good work. And we look forward to reading your nuggets on Thursday night and your article about Dwayne Wade and hopefully your article about Russell Westbrook being back on Thursday. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for having me.